In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
Our scripture passage this morning is taken from our epistle reading, which I can now see. Thank you, Christine, for getting my glasses. That helps everything out amazingly. But anyway, we will not reread the whole thing, but just enough to get us back into the flow of the passage. Hear now the word of God. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you that when you approach us about our need for the gospel, it is never simply to leave us in distress or leave us distraught, but rather it is always because you intend to heal, you intend to forgive, you intend to renew us. And so, Lord, as you call us this evening to be reminded of our need to repent and to turn to you, may we be reminded and be assured because of the good news of the gospel that you have provided for us your Son, that we may come and be washed and renewed, be cleansed by his blood, forgiven and healed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This evening, as we enter the Lenten season, I want us to look at a few of the basics of Lent. I doubt that there's very much new here. I hope that there's not very much new here. Instead, I want us to look at the basics of Lent, and my hope is that by doing so, we will renew our focus, grow in our understanding, and thus deepen the way that we engage with Lent this year. Now, to accomplish this, I want to ask three central questions that I hope will help us have a productive and meaningful Lent this year. And the three questions are this. Number one, why do I need Lent? I mean, what in the world is Lent all about? I understand that we have a big space open in the church calendar, but seriously, what about it? Why do I need Lent? That's the first question. The second question is, what is the basis or the assurance of Lent? In other words, if the first question is, why do I need Lent? Then the second question is, why do I get Lent? And then the third question is, what concrete things can I do to have a productive and meaningful Lent this year? What are the concrete things that I can do to have a productive and meaningful Lent? So let's begin with our first question. Why do I need Lent? Well, simply put, we each need the repentance, renewal, and cleansing that are central to Lent because sin is a fundamental brokenness, power, bondage that corrupts and defiles every aspect of every one of us at every moment. So the message and the witness of Scripture is not that we are nice, well-adjusted people who just occasionally do something wrong or make a mistake because the error is human, right? It's not that we're well-adjusted and do something nice. The picture that Scripture provides is not something like that sin is an app on your phone. So you have a lot of apps on your phone. And every now and then, one of those apps gets busted. It goes wrong. It gets corrupted. And so you have to uninstall it and either reinstall it or find a separate app. But everything else on your phone is doing fine. That's not the picture of sin that Scripture provides. Instead, the picture that Scripture provides is of sin that's like the operating system on your phone, upon which every app and every function on your phone rests. And it's not that just sometimes we have something go wrong. It is that our operating system is fundamentally broken, fundamentally marred, fundamentally polluted. And therefore, it corrupts every app and every function at every moment on our phone. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 64:6. For all of us, notice how it starts. It doesn't say some of us. It doesn't say those guys that don't go, to the right church or carry the right prayer book. It doesn't say the people who aren't going to vote like we think they should vote coming up later this year. It says all of us have become like one who is unclean. Now, for Isaiah, when Isaiah says something's not clean, he means something very different than your mom or your wife means when they say it's not clean, okay? So it's not that you need to take your shoes off so before you come in the house so you don't track all that dirt in. And it's not like you've been working in the yard, and then when you walk in, your wife says to you, no, you are not, do not dare sit down on anything in this house. You go immediately take a shower, change clothes, and then you come back out and be among the well-groomed people. So it's not anything like that. When Isaiah, and I quote, no. So when Isaiah talks about being unclean, it means that we are fundamentally defiled. It means that we have become polluted and corrupted to the extent that we are no longer fit to be in the presence of a holy, righteous God. We have been excluded from His presence, excluded from His fellowship, excluded from His worship. Think of all the things when you were unclean, you couldn't enter into the temple or the tabernacle, right? So that's what Isaiah is talking about. But it gets worse. Because he wants to make sure you understand that. Listen to what he says. And all, again, comprehensive, inclusive. It's not, the picture isn't just that we sometimes do bad things and we need to, you know, make amends for them. It is what Isaiah says, and all our righteous deeds. Notice Isaiah doesn't say when we're having a bad spiritual hair day, or when, you know, things just didn't go right and you're aggravated and you just had a bad day. Isaiah says when we are doing our very best, when man thinks that man is doing exactly what man ought to do, and compared to everybody else around you, you're looking pretty good. Isaiah says that all of our righteous deeds, when we're trying to do our very best, are like filthy garments. And again, it's not that we need to use, you know, extra power Tide, okay? What Isaiah means is that they're offensive to God. That's what he's saying. That even when man thinks that man, by his own strength, is doing man's best, it is offensive to God. The picture of sin that we have, why do we need Lent? Because sin is something that corrupts and defiles each and every aspect of each and every one of us at every moment. It's the operating system that's gone bad. Okay? But it gets worse. Listen. Not only that, the witness of Scripture is that we cannot fix ourselves. Okay? There's nothing that we can do. Listen, I don't care how beautiful you make the golden religious ladle. Okay? No matter how many times you dip that ladle into a poison well, what you draw out will always be tainted. Okay? We're not the solution. We're the problem. Okay? And the message of Scripture is that we cannot fix ourselves. If man is going to be helped, God alone must do it. Listen to Genesis 22:8. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb. It will not be Isaac's son that will provide the solution. It will not be Abraham's son, Isaac, who will be the sacrifice, who will be the solution. It will be have to be God's son, who will be the sacrifice and who will be the solution. It will not be by man's strength or anything that man produces or brings about. It will have to be God. If man is going to be helped, God himself must provide the lamb. So, why in the world do I need Lent? I need Lent. I desperately need the forgiveness, the renewal, and the healing to which Lent points. At every moment of every day. Think about it, right? This is kind of a heavy message. But think about it. Even when we think we're doing our best, maybe our motives aren't as pure as we would like them to be. You know what? Maybe you know what? We blew off, because you know how busy you were this week. And so you were really distracted when you were having your quiet time. And so maybe you're not as clear as you ought to have been on how God wants us to handle some certain thing, right? And so you had the best intentions, but you didn't know how to direct them in the maybe the best way. Or maybe we're inconsistent, or maybe we're not as comprehensive. Maybe we don't follow through, whatever it is, even when we're at our best, and we can't fix it. Okay? We can't. And what happens is then, if God leaves us as we are, okay, we are defiled, we're excluded, and we are outside of the fellowship of God. That's what it means when we live in a world and it seems like God's invisible. Why? Because this world right now is in separation, right, from God. That's a heavy message. That's not a fun message. But here's the point. To the degree that you diminish the severity of sin, to that very same degree, you diminish the need for the Savior that God sent. Not only that, you also undermine and diminish the amazingness of grace. A little problem doesn't require a mighty God. A little problem doesn't require amazing grace. A little problem, when you finally realize and you have those moments when it's all out of control and you don't know, it's at that moment that you need and come to realize that we serve a mighty God who does what we can't do ourselves, right? We've been there. We'll be there again, unfortunately. Okay, so that's the first question. Why do I need Lent? The second question is, what is the basis or the assurance or the grounds of Lent? In other words, why do I get Lent? Because just because you want something, just because you need something, doesn't mean necessarily that you will always get that something. So we see why we so desperately need Lent. Why then do we get Lent? Well, notice at first glance, Lent seems to be a gloomy and bleak season, doesn't it? It starts off in the cold of winter. The leaves are off the trees. It gets dark early. It's cold. And we're talking about the desperate condition of man. And so at first glance, it seems like Lent is a gloomy and bleak season. However, upon closer inspection, we find that that is not exactly the case. Lent may be sober, but it is not morose. Okay? Lent may call you to take a long and sobering look in the mirror, but God never calls you to do that so that the result is despair and self-loathing. Okay, we haven't been listening to God. That's an unfaithful response. Lent may be sober and sobering, but it's not despondent. It's not morose. Why is that? Well, notice, there is but one and only one reason. There is but one and only one basis for the entire Lent season. What is it? That single reason is this, that God has called each one of us to repent and come to Him because He promises to forgive, heal, and wash us clean. In other words, Lent is fundamentally grounded on the assurance and hope of the gospel. Why do we get Lent? Because God has provided the Lamb. Because God has done what He knows we cannot do for ourselves. Why do we get Lent? Because we desperately need it, and God knows it, and God provided the fullness of our salvation, and He calls us to come to Him because He will forgive, heal, and wash us clean. Listen to Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore draw near. Notice it's counterintuitive. Okay? We know that we're the problem and it's our fault. And so our instinct is to what? Hide it? Excuse it? Blame someone else? And run away, right? But God tells us to do the opposite. That we turn and come before this holy, righteous God because that holy, righteous God is also our Father. And He sent His Son to bear our sins in His body on the cross. Okay? Scripture tells us, draw near. And notice how. That's how. But notice how we are supposed to draw near. Notice what we're doing. Let us therefore draw near with confidence. How can we draw near with confidence? We just saw the desperation of our situation. What? Because our confidence isn't in me or you. It's not a self-derived confidence. It's not that I'm good enough or big enough or cool enough or whatever, groovy enough. That's not it. It's because our eyes are on the Lamb that God has provided. And what God has provided will not fall short. I will not lose any who come to me, Jesus says. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Where are we going? Broken and helpless. Where are we going? To a throne that's named, what is grace? By definition, it is unmerited, undeserved favor. God has done what we cannot because we cannot, and He loves us. Right? But let us therefore draw near with confidence. Because God doesn't lie. He doesn't call us for nothing. He doesn't play cat and mouse. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Why? So that we may receive mercy. Why is He calling us to receive mercy? Because we need mercy. It's when we feel the most unlovely that we are the most reminded that we are to draw near because we need God's grace and His mercy the most. Don't believe me? Listen, continues on. So that we may receive mercy and may find grace, listen, to help in time of need. In other words, we are coming to God when we are at our most unlovely because we can't fix it ourselves. And He calls us to find the very help, to find the very forgiveness and healing that He knows that we desperately need. He comes to heal us. Bottom line, Lent is fundamentally grounded on the assurance and hope of the gospel, an assurance and hope that speaks to you and me and to the very details of our life right now today. So, with that, what concrete things can I do to have a productive and meaningful Lent this year? What can I do this year to take that theology, my need and God's amazing provision, and put it to productive and meaningful use this year instead of just gliding through and, you know, just slouching through it? Okay, well, the first way that you can have a productive, meaningful Lent this year is to spend non-superficial time in God's Word every day. Okay, so just a reminder, okay, Lent is not the part of the calendar where Anglicans read their Bible. Okay, a Lent isn't the season when Anglicans repent and turn to God because they need it. Okay. And the rest of the year, we're down at the club drinking mimosas and having brunch. Okay? That's absolute nonsense. Okay? The reason we're going through Lent together is to renew, to refine, to refurbish, and to refocus these devotional practices that we will need all throughout the year. So that on a rainy Tuesday afternoon, when you're struggling with something, you know exactly what to do, how to respond, and you have the assurance that when you draw close to God, He draws close to you. Right? The reason? Because we walk through these big manner motions of devotion every year. So the first thing that we do, because it's going to be something we desperately need throughout the year, is we are getting that muscle memory that we're spending non-superficial time in God's Word every day. Now listen, I don't mean to go, and you might have an app on your phone and it gives you a verse for the day. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about going and finding a feel-good passage that says just what you want God to be saying to you at that moment. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those little devotions, okay, where they quote one verse from somewhere and they give you a heart-wrenching and warming story, okay? I'm not talking about that. Those are fine, but they are not load-bearing walls for the structure of your Christian walk, okay? You can take them away, you can add them in as you want to throughout, and it doesn't damage the structural integrity of your walk with God. I'm talking about that we're going to sit down and we're going to God's Word and we're going to hear what God has to say to me about me, okay? Clue. God's Holy Spirit does not convict you for everybody else's sin. If you get up from your quiet time and went, Walter, he sure needed to hear that. You okay? Then you weren't listening and you need to go back because you missed what God was saying. Okay? God doesn't convict you about everybody around you. Okay? You go to your quiet time to hear what God has to say to you about you. Okay? And then you go to hear what God has to tell you about Himself. Not what you want Him to be, not what you're thinking it should be, not what everybody in the office agrees that He is. God is the expert on God and what God tells you in His Word about Himself. Okay? And every day we're having non-superficial time. Notice then our collect for the second Sunday in Advent expresses this sentiment so perfectly. It encourages us to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's holy word. All scripture is breathed out, inspired by God. That word better would be translated, breathed out. All of it. So, have you read Nahum lately? Okay, all scripture is breathed out. Okay, what about Micah? Okay, there's not the good part, the relevant part, and then the uninteresting part. Okay, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. So you'll know who God is, who you are, and what this life's about. For reproof, you might need to be convicted about something and change your attitude or whatever. Teaching for reproof, for correction, maybe you're mistaken. Okay, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. We're not guessing, we're not groping about in the dark, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How are we to live in the midst of the real situations that you are going through at your office, in your family, in your neighborhood, at the grocery store? How are we to respond to all this going on around us in a way that's pleasing God and that's facing God? How do I go about my day facing God? Okay, it begins with non-superficial time in God's Word every day. The second thing that you can do is that the second way you can have a productive and meaningful Lent this year is to make Lent local. Say it every year, and we'll say it this year again, every year. Make Lent local. What do I mean by that? I mean, make it about right here and about right now. In other words, because God's grace is specific, let your repentance be specific as well. Think about it. You remember when Jesus says that he died for all your sins? Well, in that big bag of all your sins, some of them really, really, really big bags of all your sins are included the ones that you're struggling with right now. Remember when God said that I will deliver you and I'll wipe every tear from your eye? In that big bowl of tears and in that big bowl of deliverance are included the very situations that you're facing right now. Okay, God's grace is specific. Therefore, let your repentance be specific as well. As such, do not simply pray generic prayers. Lord, forgive me. Okay, forgive you for what? Don't pray generic prayers about generic struggles of sin and falling short of the glory of God. Really, how? Okay, that seek nothing but a generic healing. Seek nothing, get nothing. Right? Instead, bring the particulars of your current need to God for Him to forgive and heal. Dear Lord, please forgive me for being impatient to everybody around me this whole week. Okay? Well, why were you impatient? Okay? Well, the situation at work, Randy quit, and you know, it's all just going to pieces. And so, but remember yesterday when you were freaking out about that, and I told you that it's in my hands and I'm the Lord of this too? Yeah? Okay. So you were impatient because you were afraid because you didn't trust me with that situation. You didn't trust my purpose. You didn't trust that I would guide you through that. So you went home and because you weren't facing me and trusting me, you took it out on everybody else. Now we have a prayer. Dear Lord, forgive me for not trusting you. And therefore I freak out and I take it out on everybody else around me. Please help me to trust you more, okay, and to behave in a way that makes you known instead of just making me look like a horse's rear end, okay? There's a prayer. Now we're getting somewhere, okay? Listen to Luke 8:40. We're almost done. And Jesus stopped and commanded that the blind man be brought to him. And when he had come near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" I love this. This was our gospel reading last week. And it's intentional. As we're heading into Lent, this is our gospel lesson that's preparing us to head into the Lenten season. And it's breathed out in God's word because God asked each and every one of you that very same thing. What do you want me to do for you? And I want you to carry that question with you in Lent. What do you want me to do for you? Where do you need to see God's hand at work in your life? Where do you need His presence and His help in your life? Where do you need to see God working and drawing you closer in your life? What is it that you keep struggling with and stumbling over? Where do you need God's grace and God's presence at work in your life? What do you want me to do for you? Why are you here? What's your point? And he asked each of that, make Lent local, about right here and right now. Grace is specific, therefore make your turning to God specific. And the third way you can have a productive and meaningful Lent is to deepen and renew your devotional life. So think about it. It's so easy to get sidetracked in our walk with God. It's so easy to become complacent or grow comfortable with the convenient. Okay, that's right? That's the thing. We all do that. We get comfortable with the convenient. Therefore, this evening, I want to encourage each of you to choose one way, one thing, something that you're not doing right now, something different, one way, one thing that you can do to deepen and renew your devotional life throughout Lent. Everything else we've talked about in the sermon is carries over. You carry it with you. This is specifically about Lent. One thing that you can do throughout this Lent, and chances are God may have already been prompting you towards that something. Maybe it's to stop during lunch and take a bit of time to have a prayer time. Maybe it is that there's an annoying neighbor that you know, and you're going to stop and pray for that person, right? And then you're going to stop and pray that God would actually help you really mean everything that you just prayed. Okay? I know, it's hard, right? Right? Maybe there's someone at work, whatever it is. What's one thing that you can do that stretches your devotional muscles, so to speak? Okay? That makes you, will help you be supple when God does call you to serve in a way that maybe you're not used to, that you know how and you know how to respond. What's the one thing that you can, each of us can do, one thing that you can do to deepen your devotional life? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. My prayer this Lent for each of you is that you'll fall more in love with Jesus, that you'll grow more and more. God will draw you deeper into His Word, and that you will bear fruit for His kingdom, because that fruit will not only assure you of His presence and grace at work in you, it will also be a blessing and a comfort to those around you. Amen?
Amen.